Romans chapter 8. Are you there? Say amen. You believe the Bible? Say amen. Now I want to go back before I'm going to preach on one verse in Romans chapter 8. And then I'm going to go back a little bit. And I've got up on the screen, I'm going to have a little slideshow that consists of one picture. Okay? It's going to make it's the most profound, deepest theology that you'll ever get anywhere. Okay? And I want to make it real simple, but it's very profound. Romans chapter 7, we preached that last week. By the way, a lot of people got a blessing out of that, and we tell God thank you. Somebody tell God thank you. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Back in Romans chapter 7, Paul said, verse 19, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." Everybody say amen to that. That's us. Amen. Verse 20, "Now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." Verse 22, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." My delight comes from what I know God has done on the inside of me. I don't delight much in what I do on the outside. Amen. I don't have a whole lot of delight to the Holy Ghost. When I do something that's wrong, the Holy Ghost makes me feel wretched and bad and miserable, sick to my stomach and all that stuff. Somebody say amen. That's the guilt that's coming out of you. And I don't delight much in the outward man, but I do delight in the inward man. I delight in that a lot. Verse 23, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." Oh, wretched man. In fact, everybody say this out loud with me. Verse 24, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Now, if you believe that about yourself, say amen. I'm going to do a Joel Osteen. "This is my Bible. It is what I am what it says I am. And it says I am a wretched man." You won't hear him say that. "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Now I want you to think about deliverance and think about being saved and what all that implies. Okay, being delivered, being saved, being yanked out and brought into protection and all that stuff. I want you to think about that. "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" But then he says, verse 25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And what he's saying there is that Jesus Christ our Lord is the one that delivered us out of the body of this death. Somebody say amen. "So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Now, in chapter 8, verse 1, you see the word "therefore." And the word "therefore" always is a summation of what he said before. Now, everything from Romans chapter 1 to this point, he's going to sum it all up. Because he talked in Romans 1 about, you know, how we don't have an excuse. Romans chapter 1 and 2, everybody's a sinner and there's no excuse. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." He talks about Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." Romans 7, he's talking about the dual nature of the Christian, how we're rotten, filthy, low down in our flesh, but our spirit and our soul want to serve God and be happy in Jesus, and we delight in that. Now he's going to sum it up in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. He says, "There is therefore now no condemnation." Now, I want to stop right. In fact, I want to stop right here and pray. And you pray that God will let me say the things that I want to say. But if not, that God will give me something to replace it. Because I got a lot to say this morning. Heavenly Father, I love you. And God, Lord, I have zero right, Lord, to stand here with this book in my hand. Lord, you are the only one that's worthy to open the book. And Lord, I'm relying on you, God. Lord, you know what's going through my mind and my heart right now, God. And Father, Lord, I just sometimes condemn myself. And I just pray, dear God, Lord, that you would deliver me from that. And Father, Lord, maybe somebody else here is struggling this morning. And God, you would deliver them as well from condemning themselves. Father, Lord, we're all unrighteous. We're all sinners. We're all vile, dear God. We've all done terrible things. We've all thought terrible things and said terrible things. And God, Lord, there's nobody in here, Lord, that's good. And Father, Lord, what we want to do all the time is we want to condemn ourselves. And Lord, I sometimes I feel like I'm the chief of that. I'm asking you, dear God, Lord, Father, that you would put in us a spirit that does not condemn any longer. And Lord, just help me preach this, Father, and let it be a blessing to these people. Lord, I love them, and I thank you for them, dear God. Lord, Father, just bless them. I pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but every now and then, I get in this deal in life where I don't need anybody else condemning me because they'll not do as good a job as I will. Amen. I come down on myself, and I come down on myself pretty hard a lot. And that, you know what? That's healthy to a point. It's healthy to a point because it'll just kick all the pride we got out of us. Amen. And I'll tell you this. You know, we were just talking a while ago about the ministries and what God's doing and this and that and the other. And if I'm not real careful, I'll get a little bit of pride in me about what's going on, and I hate it. I hate pride. I hate pride in other people, and I hate it in me. I don't like it. I don't like, you know, I can't stand it. And really, what God is blessing in this church is not our pride, but our humility, our humbleness. You've heard me preach this a million times. God will humble us by humiliating us. You believe that? Say amen. And I would to God that I could tell you all the ways that God has used to humiliate me in my life. But I'm telling you, that's how it is. Okay. But every now and then, it's okay every now and then to get down on yourself, because then you realize that you're nothing and that Christ is everything. And if you ever hope to be saved, you will be saved in Christ and not outside of Christ. Does everybody believe that? Say amen. So this church, and this ministry, and this message, and everything that we have to give out of this church is Christ alone and nothing else. Somebody sent me an email this week wanting to know. They said, Pastor Mike, we love you, and with the things that you got out there is so great. I want to ask you a question. Have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost? And I wrote back, yes. Amen. When I got saved, God baptized me. Amen. He washed me clean on the inside of my heart. And I was wretched, and now I'm saved. And that's why I delight on the inner man. And then she followed it up by saying, do you speak with other tongues? Yes, King James. Amen. I speak in a King James tongue. Well, then she wrote back and she said, oh no, you know, you're saved, and yeah, that's fine. But you know, the baptism of the Holy Ghost gives you this extra boost of power where you can do things that you couldn't do before in life, and all this other junk. And she rounded all that. And you know what I wrote her back? One sentence. I said, who told you that lie? Who told you that lie? I'm going to tell you something. If you're not full of the Holy Ghost, you're not saved. That's all there is to it. Somebody say amen. And I'll tell you we're going to teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ here and nothing else. Not by works, lest any man should boast, but by grace through the faith that we have given to us by the word of God. That's who it is right here. So he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are members of the church. Doesn't say that, does it? There's now therefore no condemnation to them who sent in their check of $39.95 for the videos that we're going to send them. It's not what it says. There is now therefore no condemnation to them who speak in tongues. It's not what it says. There's now therefore no condemnation to them who eat a cookie in front of the church. That's not what it says. It says there's now therefore no condemnation to them which are what? In Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, there's one verse, and I'm going to tell you what, I've got it up, I got it in my notes here. I ought to look at my notes here. Take your Bible and turn to, where are we going here? I can't even find it. Here we go, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to make something this morning, if God will let me, and I hope he does, I want to make something very simple for us this morning. Because if we're not careful, us preachers have a knack for making things complicated, and it's not really complicated. I believe you ought to believe in doctrine. I believe you ought to believe in the Bible and all that stuff. And I believe you ought to try to live holy life. Can I hear you say amen? But living a holy life does not make you saved. You get saved, and then all of a sudden you just have a desire to start having a holy life. Amen? You don't want to do some of the things you used to do anymore, and you don't want that. And now I want you to notice, because you know how I do. I just look for phrases in the Bible, and that phrase, in Christ, is here. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11, he said, would to God you could bear with me a little my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is what? In Christ. I'm just going to preach a few verses this morning about being in Christ. And I'm here to tell you that Paul said it's simple and it's not complicated. The false churches and the false gospels will tell you all this nonsense about how you have to do this and how you have to spell this right. I've had people write me this week getting on me because they say I don't say the name of Jesus right. They say you got to say Yahushua or Yeshua. They even argue among themselves about how to say it. And that what they're really telling you is that if you're not praying in the name that they say you ought to pray in, that you're not saved. And I'm here to tell you that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And that's what my King James Bible says. And I believe that Bible because it saved my life and I'm devoted to it, and this is my friend right here. Say hello to my little friend. Amen. This is my buddy, my companion, my faithful counselor, and I'm telling you that it's in the name of Jesus. Somebody say amen. And they make it complicated. They make it like they got to tie you around in bondage and all this stuff. And I'm telling you that there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Now I'm going to just for about 2 minutes, I'm going to throw some Bible numbers at you just to let you know how deep and how right that Bible that you're holding in your hand is. The exact phrase, in Christ, I looked it up. It's mentioned exactly 77 times in the King James Bible. Now, here's an interesting thing. In Luke chapter 3, it gives a lineage starting from Jesus, going backwards through history, to Adam, who the Bible says was the Son of God. I counted the names, the lineage of Christ, from Christ all the way down to God. By the way, I believe that Jesus was the Son of God. 77 names in that lineage from Christ down to God. The word church is found 77 times in the King James Bible. So if you're in Christ, you're in the church. And I believe literally you ought to be in the church. Amen. Those that are in Christ, I don't come here because I have to. I don't come here because my wife said, honey, get out of bed. Why do I have to go there? Because they pay you. I don't show up for church for that reason. I'm here because, listen, I've already said a while ago, you people are my friends. Without you guys, I ain't got anybody else out there. There's a bunch of people out there that hate my guts. Why would I want to go around trying to be friends with people that hate my guts? Amen. But I like you people, and I think you like me, and I like this church, and I like what God's doing here. But I'm here because I love the Lord Jesus Christ, and I love this Bible, and I love that cross. So when you're in Christ, you're in church. By the way, that lineage that he gives in Luke chapter 3 of those 77 names, you know what that implies? If Jesus is the Son of God, that means that he's the inheritor of God's property. And we who are in Christ will then be joint heirs with him. Now let me ask you a question. Is an inheritance given by works or by grace? You don't have to be anything but a son to get the inheritance. And if you're not a son, you don't get the inheritance. Amen? You don't get it. That's how it is. And so I just kind of what'd that take? About 2 minutes? I'm telling you, this Bible's right. It all makes sense. Amen. All matches up and it all makes sense. All right. Let's see here. Now, therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. Somebody in about 2 minutes' time or less, explain to me what it means to be in Christ. What do you think that means? In Christ. You define it as saved. Okay, that's good. In Christ, what does that mean? Give your life to Christ. You don't You don't own it anymore, do you, Rosie? Ain't your life anymore, is it? It's Christ. Let Him do with it what He wants. Somebody say amen. Okay? Okay? Your life belongs to Him. Eternal life. You're in Christ. Amen? New nature. This is all good. The Bible's got a real simple way of showing you what it means to be in Christ. This is not just some big philosophy deal where you say, oh, I'm in Christ, and nobody really knows what that means. God has a way in the Bible that if He gives you a doctrine, He'll go and draw a picture of it somewhere. Because we like pictures. Amen? We love pictures. How many of you, be honest, okay? When some big wing-ding book comes out, you'll say, I'll wait for the movie. That way, that you know, because they're drawing pictures of it. David, you're not like that, are you? Okay, God bless you. Amen. Nothing wrong with reading. He draws His own pictures. Amen. But God drew pictures for us in this Bible of what it means to be in Christ. And it's real simple. In fact, I'm going to put it up on the screen right here. You ready for this? Hope this works now. Oh, come on. I got to turn it on, don't I? Here we go. Ready? See how simple that is? Christ is the ark. Amen? By the way, arks don't sink in water. They walk on it. Amen? Jesus can walk on water. Somebody say amen. There are three levels to that ark, upper, middle, and lower. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Somebody say amen. I'm telling you, that's Christ. Now, go back, take your Bible, go back to Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7. That's the ark story. The Bible says in Genesis 7 verse 1, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house in to the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. We have the invitation of God to come into Christ. Now, this is how simple this is. Noah did not grab Noah by the nape of his neck, by his shirt collar, and drug him in there kicking and screaming into the ark. God presented Noah with his future and the future of the world. And what God told Noah was, Noah, I'm going to destroy everything in this world. And I'm here to tell you that God is going to destroy this world and the works that are in it. They're all going to be burned up one of these days. And you've got a choice. You can either be in Christ or out of Christ. And if you're out of Christ, you're going to die and go to hell. And I want to tell you something, being presented with an easy choice like that, do you want to go to heaven or do you want to go to hell? I'm here to tell you this, old boy, I want to go to heaven. Somebody say amen. You don't have to drag me in. All you got to do is invite me in. And buddy, I'm wanting to go. I cannot tell you how bad I want to go to heaven. Man, I was reading. I don't know what I was reading. No, I was reading Romans chapter 8. I was just going through that last night. And we were sitting at the mall and Caleb was playing and I had my little electronic Bible there and I was reading that. Boy, I read something about the foreknowledge of God and this and that and the other. And I almost started crying right there in front of everybody inside that mall because I'm saying, God, I'm so thankful, God, that you saw me long time before you created the earth, God, and I'm glad I'm not going to hell. Because there's a lot of people out there that are. And I'm thankful for my wife, and I'm thankful for my children, and I'm thankful for this church, and I'm thankful for this Bible. But I'll tell you what, this boy is very, very thankful that I don't have to go to hell. I cannot tell you. So God did not make Noah obey. He gave him the invitation. And Noah's obedience, you listen to this, Noah's obedience was based upon his belief in what God said. It's not the other way around. You don't obey first to get the grace or to get the faith. You get the faith and you believe God and you say, you know what? God said, get in the ark. Let's get in the ark. And the door, by the way, the door was open then, and I'm telling you right now, the door is open right now. The door to the ark right now is still open, but I'm here to tell you it's not going to be that way forever. God shut the door on Noah and his family and all those animals. And by the way, if you don't believe this story, don't ask God to forgive your sins. Amen. Because he talks all through the Bible about the days of Noah, the days of Noah. And if those days are not as the Bible recorded, then why in the world would you believe the Bible on anything? Okay, that's not mean. I'm just telling you the truth that you ought to believe the Bible. Amen. And I believe that those animals are on there. And I believe that earth, the entire earth, from north to south to east and west, was covered with water, because that's what this Bible says. And I believe that. And I believe that once again, there is a flood of iniquity knocking at the door. This world is fixing to be flooded again, not with water, but with unrighteousness and iniquity. And the man of sin is going to come up. Just like the fountains of the great deep, the man of sin is going to rise up, and it's going to mark everybody on planet Earth that they're not gods. They don't belong to God. And just look at how simple that is. You can either, if you're in Christ, that means you're in the ark and you're safe. You're saved. If you're not in Christ, see how simple that is? You're sinking down, and you're going to perish forever. That's how simple that is. Noah is not condemned with the world. The world had been condemned, and God had sent his judgment out to the entire earth, and the earth was perishing. But Noah was not in the world. He was not walking after the flesh. Everybody else was. And I'm sure they mocked Noah. They laughed at him. Everything. Noah was a preacher of righteousness all the time that the ark was preparing, and nobody listened to him, but it didn't faze Noah at all. He said, boys, let's keep building. And they prepared the ark, and Noah got in. And by the way, and I had to preach this one time, it's very profound. God did not tell Noah to drive a stake on the side of the ark and hang on. Because then that would be human effort. And we're not saved by how long we can hang on. Because I've been in times where I couldn't hang on. I had to let go. But we're saved because we're in Christ. We're in the ark. Somebody say amen. See how simple that is. And if you're not in Christ, you're going to perish with the world that's going to perish. I'm going to tell you what, if you don't want to shout in church, go home and shout amen. And get happy because you're saved. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in the ark. They're in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It was the Spirit that bade Noah to get on the ark. And it was the hand of God that shut that door there. Okay? And listen to this now. Once that door was shut, those that are on the outside don't get in. Those that are on the inside don't fall out. Because it's not human effort. It's the grace of God that, I'm glad that Jesus knows how to walk on water. Amen? Listen, my ship won't sink. Amen? I like to hear these. There's a bunch of them out there. They call them the old ship of Zion. There's all kinds of different songs out there called the ship of Zion. The ship, and I love them. I love singing and hearing songs about the old ship of Zion. Amen. That just makes me happy. Amen. And I don't care. The ship of Zion is not the Titanic. Amen. It's not going down. Amen. It'll never sink. I want to read to you some verses very quickly, and I'll get you out of here. And you can go do whatever you want to do today and then come back tonight. Amen. Romans 3. I got to be done by 3 because Frank's having a checkers tournament. Got to get over there and play checkers with Frank. Amen. And Romans 3. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. When you're in Christ, you're redeemed. That means God bought you and paid for you with his son's blood. Amen. And he's not giving you back. Romans 12. So we, being many, are one body in Christ. That means that I don't care if you're a member of such and such church somewhere, that does not make you in Christ. But being saved and washed by His blood and redeemed does make you in Christ. And did you know that there's other people that are going to heaven that are not sitting here this morning? Yeah. Amen! There's other people out there that are going to heaven. You know why? Because we are all one members in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Bible says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ. When you are in Christ, you've been made holy. And isn't that amazing thing when you who were not holy were made holy? Not by works of righteousness which you have done, but by His mercy. That we are in Christ, called to be saints. 1 Corinthians 15, for as in Adam, all die. Look at there. Everybody that was in Adam was floating belly up or face down or whatever in the waters of the flood. They were buried by the flood. They were in Adam. But Noah was not in Adam. He was in Christ. He was in the ark. For as in Adam, all die. Even so, in Christ shall all be made alive. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Now thanks be unto God, which always, listen to this, which always causes us to triumph. How? In Christ. If I were to just really just open up now and tell everybody what kind of miserable failure I am, I'll tell you what, it just seems like every time I turn around, every time something good goes with the Lord and I'm feeling happy and blessed and this, that, and the other, it just seems like I just turn around and I'm a miserable, low-down failure. And I'm like last week. I don't mind saying to myself, Mike, I hate your guts. Literally, I hate my guts. They're just way big, all right? And they bother me. But I hate my gut. I don't like me. I'm a wretched man. Amen? I'm in no good. But in Christ, I always triumph. That's hard for us to get a hold of. Because even at our worst, Waynesy, at our very worst in Christ, God's still causing us to triumph. We just don't see it. We just don't see it. We say, God, I said I'd never do that again. I said I'd never watch that show again on TV. God, I said I wouldn't listen to Led Zeppelin no more. And we think of ourselves, I failed you, God. I said I'd never do it again. And yet, God's causing us to triumph by our failures. Yeah. Mm. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a, say it with me, new creature. Look here. Old things, look at the ark now, look at the water. Old things are passed away. Did God pass away the old things in Genesis chapter 7 with the flood? Yes. Behold, all things, and the number for renewing is 8. You know how many people there were on the ark? 8. You know what chapter of the Bible they all come off the ark onto a new world in? Take a wild guess. God wrote the book in order. 8 is the number for new life and new beginning. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that in itself is a picture, not just of what has happened, but what is going to happen. The old things of this life are going to pass away. Somebody say amen. I'm going to tell you what, there's some days I just said it'd be sooner than later. But they are going to pass away and they're going to be, and that's in Christ. 2 Corinthians 11, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted for the simplicity that is in Christ. If you're saved, quit searching out for something better, because there's nothing better than being saved. I'm tired of that crowd. Galatians 2, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have where? In Christ. When you are in Christ, you're free. Listen, it's when you're in the floods. That's when you're in bondage. When you're in Christ, you're free. You're free. And I like being free. And I don't want anybody to place yokes of bondage on me ever again. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the works of the law. No. We're made nigh. How? By the blood of Christ. We are in Christ, and we used to be way far away from the truth. Amen. Now we're saved by the blood of Christ. We're brought nigh. 1 Thessalonians 4, watch this. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Amen. It almost makes me want to die before the rapture. Because then I get to go first. Amen. But I'll wait. Okay? Because really, it's a twinkling of an eye. What difference does it make? Amen. But if you're in Christ, even though you're dead, you'll rise. Somebody say amen. 2 Timothy 3, and that from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Sister Linda, God bless you. Because when I was young here, God used you to make me wise in the Holy Scriptures. And as a Sunday school teacher, Linda Carmichael never stood up in front of these kids and said, now, kids, in the original Greek, it says something. I never saw Greek words up on a flannel graph screen in Vacation Bible School. I owe a debt to those who came before me in this church who taught me out of this old King James Bible. I owe a debt to them. Some of them have gone to be the Lord. Some of them are not even in church. But God made me just a little bit wise in the Scriptures from a child. And I'm thankful for that, which is able to make me wise unto salvation in Christ Jesus. It was the Word of God that told Noah, Noah, you need to get in the ark. And it was the Word of God that led him in there. And folks, it'll be the Word of God that'll keep you in Christ Jesus. Amen. Okay? It'll keep you in. And I don't know how to close a message. It had a good beginning. I don't know how to finish it. But I just want to tell you, don't ever forget that.
Yeah. Amen.
Don't ever forget that. That's how simple this deal is. Being in Christ, in His salvation. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me, okay, and I in him, he said, I'll bring forth much fruit. And fruitfulness is the evidence of a born-again, saved, Bible-believing Christian. Okay? And so anyway, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. I want you to bow your heads this morning. I just want to have a season of prayer this morning. And I just want to thank God for you and thank God for your love for His Word and your love for this church.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, God is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word. God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.